You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Now, if you haven't had the opportunity to stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and talk with a battery specialist, you need to do that, because these guys are very knowledgeable about every kind of battery, hence the name Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera to your rangefinder, any battery that you need, these guys can help you find. Even if it's a specific, unique, one-off battery, these guys can help you find what you need. If you want to find out more information on Interstate Batteries, about their brand, about their history, about the company in general, and all the batteries they offer, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Jordan Christensen, part owner of The Draw, is on the show. We discuss what The Draw has to offer, hunt plans, my experience in using the services The Draw has to offer, the Kids Apply Free program, and more. I hope you enjoy the show. You are listening to Tales from the Field, presented by Outdoor Edge. Stories, tips, tactics, and in-depth conversations coming to you from industry leaders. Let's get into the show. Today I have Jordan Christensen on with The Draw. How's it going today, Jordan?
It's outstanding. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to kind of discussing what The Draw is and what y'all offer, and kind of a DIY hunter myself's perspective on The Draw and how you guys have been super helpful in my tag applications and all that stuff. So, Jordan, why don't you kind of give everybody a little bit of your background, and then we'll jump into The Draw.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I live in Southern New Mexico. I actually grew up in Central Utah. Zach was there up until about 18, joined the military, did that for about 6 years, kind of cruised all over the world. And when I got done with that, settled here in Southern New Mexico, I had learned how to do taxidermy through an apprenticeship when I was, pretty young, and kind of started a taxidermy studio down here in New Mexico. It was a really unique scenario because of the oryx hunts that happened, the free range oryx / gemsbuck that they have in New Mexico, and they make all the hunters go in one way, they make them all come out one way. And back then there was like 12 different hunts a year with 100 guys per weekend. Unbeknownst to me, like, you couldn't have landed in a better spot if you're a guy trying to kind of get your name out there. 100 once in a lifetime animals are coming out that gate, lots of guides and outfitters, lots of out-of-state hunters, all these different things, and you just never know what God's getting you ready for. And over about 9 years, I was out there on White Sands, and through being out there, I started making lots of relationships with just hunters and lots of outfitters. And that kind of progressed pretty quickly into where I was guiding a lot. And I mean, you've talked, like, there was a few years there prior to having kids that if I didn't have somebody in my truck 150, 200 days a year, I was just furious, right? Like, that's all I cared about. That's all I wanted to do, from Texas to Arizona, Utah, Colorado, lots of New Mexico. Just, I wanted to hunt. I was from high fence hunting down in Texas in the spring, especially for a taxidermist, right? Like, that's like the end of the rainbow. Guys are shopping for extremely expensive home decor with their gun. and then all the way through just normal hunting seasons. I used to hunt the Kaibab in Arizona every year. I missed that a lot. I used to live in a wall tent for like 30 days a year hunting some of the biggest deer in the country. And so I've been doing that a long time, and I end up, getting a job offer from Cabela's to move. I just got married. I had a 2-year-old little boy. You know, they were using words that I'd never heard before, like retirement and insurance and things like that. And I'm like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. And so I ended up like closing down everything. And I moved up to Nebraska, and I was there through the Bass Pro Cabela's transition. And, you know, a lot of things had changed. And so I kind of moved. My wife is from Southern New Mexico. I moved back down here a few years ago, went back to guiding, waited out my non-compete, and started the draw. And what I was doing at Cabela's was exactly what I still am doing today, which is consulting, particularly with a focus on Western hunting applications, and or I guess just hunting applications. If there's a place that has some sort of draw associated with it, we try our hardest to know everything there is to know about any of them, anywhere they're at, what they entail. And I still learn some all the time. I found out there's a sandbar hunt in Florida on St. Lucia Island the other day, which like has like a horrible success rate, and it sounds miserable. And I'm totally psyched about it because it's like some brand new little gem that I found that has a draw for an, you know, crazy adventure to go on. But yeah, that's what I geek out on. I all day, every day, I continue to learn and study, and I've been doing it now pretty much for about 8 years, 7, 8 years. And no, that's not true. I guess I'm going into my 7th year. And I really enjoy helping people kind of avoid the pitfalls, like what I'm addicted to and how aggressive I am at all this stuff is so far different than 9 out of 10 guys that I'm working with. It's all about kind of understanding your goals and then understanding the different state systems to a point that you can actually build a plan around it and start executing it. And taking a lot of the randomness out of it, and still finding success.
Right. Yeah. And that's a big portion of it. Especially as I'm learning, you know, as you know, now the more you've got to know me, my whole point in applying for a tag is apply for one I think I can get. I've never really, you know, yeah, it's cool, the Arizona Strip and all that stuff, but I've never looked at that and thought, I have to hunt that before I die. My hunting career or hunting life will not be fulfilled unless I hunt the Arizona Strip. I've never thought that. Sure. Honestly, I've never even thought that about something like a mountain goat or a mountain sheep. Like, I just want to go, you know?
Sure.
But even with just wanting to go, talking with you and learning about other opportunities and everything like that, it has really opened my eyes to how much having even a plan that is a high draw rate plan, as opposed to, you know, planning way out in the future, it's really opened my eyes to how much that can help. So, you know, covering different things to look for, maybe different seasons, different units, different states, all that kind of stuff, covering that with you, because like the amount of stuff that you know about all that is kind of mind-boggling, honestly. But it's really opened my eyes to the opportunities that I would be more than happy with, that I can get really frequently, if not every year, but wasn't stuff that I really even knew about until I started talking with you.
Sure. I mean, it's just like, you know, I would stress, like, one of the misconceptions of myself and guys doing what I do is, you know, we live in such an amazing time with how available information is. And I think anybody could probably know what I know and do what I do if you got an opportunity that the only thing you did in your work hours per day and, to be honest, even past work hours, because I can't help it, I just really have a passion for it, is just studying, right? The information is out there. There's a lot of resources that you can tap into to learn, but what you might take hours to research one topic typically with a 5-minute phone call, I can get you pointed in the right direction and just take some of that out. And I think the draw as a general rule, like that's kind of what we focus on, right? We're very much a customer service type product and focused on creating a very easy path to something that, it, you know, I tell guys all the time, you know, at some point in time, you end up, if things have gone well, hiring somebody to mow your yard, right? Because your time is worth more than the time it requires to mow your yard.
And so I hate mowing my yard.
Yeah, and or you hate it, right? And I think that submitting applications is kind of the same thing, right? Like either you have the time to research and do all of it and make sure you keep up with the deadlines, and understand the new changes to the different laws and all the different things that are happening state by state, and you have a passion like myself, and I think there's lots of guys who do, and if those guys even have a question, like I'm all about it, like have them call me, and maybe I can help, maybe I can't, because maybe they know more than I do, I don't know, but usually I can get a guy pointed in a pretty quick direction. And at the end of the day, if you just simply find that keeping up with the deadlines, keeping up with the research and all of that is too time constraining versus what you're doing for a living or your family time or whatever it is, we become the solution to that problem, right? We become an avenue that you can lean on so that you're still accomplishing what you want to. You're not missing deadlines. You're applying for places that have reason you know, that are achieving or getting closer to the goals that you've set for yourself, without, you know, and it's sometimes, some of the guys, especially if I've worked with them for a few years, for all intents and purposes, I prefer longer conversations. You know that, like I'm a talker, I'll talk your freaking ear off, but some guys truly are that busy, right? Like they don't want to talk for an hour. They have a plan. We're executing a plan. We connect for 20, 30 minutes, you know, a couple times a year at most, and they don't have to worry about it. It's just happening. And they're still getting all of the benefit from the application side of things without having to invest tons and tons of time or money into getting it all accomplished for themselves. But yeah, it's that's and it doesn't matter if guys are DIY or they know they want to go guided or anything like that. Like there's such these point systems and application systems for all intents and purposes are so mature now that their maturity has created complexities that you really have, if you're seeing it through a tunnel with just your own applications or you and your buddy's applications, it's very hard to have context. When you start getting a 10,000 foot view and you're putting in hundreds, thousands of applications a year, not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds or thousands, I guess is probably the best way to say that. You truly start to see patterns. You see things differently and you can start making adjustments to you know, capitalize on those. And for a guy like yourself, Zach, like your hunt plan, as straightforward as it is I want to go hunting as often as I can every year, right? Like that's pretty much your hunt plan,
right?
There is a lot of complexities with a plan like that, you know, and I always say there's like a jump rope swinging through the air starting in December and kind of it comes full circle maybe the middle of June, and there's all sorts of deadlines to apply and there's all sorts of results. And a guy like yourself, that your hunt plan, we're adjusting constantly through that process. We're not trying to put it in a box in December and say, okay, this is our plan. This is how we're going to go about it. Because we're reacting to different draw results. So we're going to tee it up with a few of them a year that are 100% chance of drawing. We've looked at the odds. We're planning on it. If everything stays similar to consistent to what it's been, we bank on those. But then there's a lot of things out there that do have some level of luck involved in them. And that's what we navigate so that we don't end up having some something special come down the pipeline with an overlapping season date, or you know, maybe even in too close of proximity to each other. Even this morning I was on the phone with a gentleman, you know, and I ask a question a lot of times, Zach, is in a 10-year period, if you could choose without any variables attached to it to go hunting out of state for a Western species, probably more focused on deer, elk, and antelope as a general rule, like how many times would you go? What species would be the most important one to be hunting? And no matter what the answer to that question is, this guy says, I want to hunt deer and elk every year for the next 10 years. And he doesn't want to be spending thousands of dollars on vouchers and landowner permits. So we're going to build him a hunt plan that he's going to have a deer and an elk hunt every year with a draw process involved in it. And then the real trick isn't to just get in this rut of the same thing over and over and over again, because that even that is becoming harder and harder to do. It's that there is some level of progression happening, because what makes us happy, what fires us up, what gets us going right now is pretty unlikely to be the same if we found success over that 10 years to be the same at the end of the 10 years, right? Like, we're going to want something better or different or whatnot. And with a real hunt plan and really diving into what our goals are and trying to look through that crystal ball, we can address all of that stuff and be executing a plan, not just grabbing a handful of darts every year and throwing it at the wall and praying that our dreams fall out. You know what I mean? Like, that's so many guys have that method, and unfortunately, it just doesn't culminate to what they were hoping for very often.
Right, exactly. And that, you, I think you said it really well. You know, if you go on a hunt and your goal is to shoot an animal with a bow, you know, that's an awesome goal, and it's pretty tough, honestly. And you make that happen. The next year, I would assume for the majority of people, there's some people out there that not this way, but I would assume for the majority of people, they no longer just want to shoot a animal with a bow. They now want a 4x4 with a bow. And then after that, it is 150-inch 4x4, maybe 108. Who knows where it'll go from there. But, I mean, you couldn't really said that better. I would assume, just like you, that once that itch has been scratched, it's a bigger itch.
Yeah, I think it is. I think, you know, once you've have a stack of antlers in your garage, you know, so big you can't run and jump over it, I think, you know, a lot of listeners, right, from the Midwest and the East and things like that, you know, they kind of have that going on in whitetail, right? And maybe some of them have even got to where they've killed some extremely impressive whitetails, and that itch just has faded, and now they're finding that same adrenaline, you know, maybe clear back into a 3-year-old bull elk, right? Just a raghorn bull right. Fires them up. You know, like, there is still an intensity. I tell guys I'm exactly the opposite, right? Like, I'm kind of an anomaly. I've been to Africa, the Arctic Circle, Alaska. I mean, I've been all around the world prior to hunting whitetails. And for me personally right now, it does take a rather special mule deer or elk to get me to where my heart's beating. And it creates even some stuff, like my drive for that has subsided definitely because of some of the special stuff that I've got to be a part of over the years. But you put 140-inch whitetail in front of me, and I might miss. Like, I'm a mess. Like, if it's the right scenario, and I had to watch that deer come from a ways out, and I'm just sitting in the stand helpless waiting for it to come to where I can have an opportunity, I'm a wreck. And it's a lot the opposite for a lot of guys that I talk to, is that that's where they cut their teeth, that they've kind of gone through a full progression in that species, and they are looking for that adrenaline, and they find it out west and or, you know, in different facets. And some go over the ocean, but a lot of guys I talk to, I guess probably because that's what I do, is they look towards the west or Alaska or whatnot. And they're, all they're doing really is just looking for that adrenaline again. They're looking for that oh my gosh feeling again that they used to have when they were young with a nice whitetail, and it's just kind of subsided now, and they're doing whatever they can to find that again.
Calling all elk hunters, do you want to go on a free archery elk hunt in Colorado? Here is your chance. Outdoor Edge is giving away a free archery elk hunting trip. To enter the drawing, go to outdooredge.com and click on Elk Hunt Giveaway. Again, that is outdooredge.com and click on Elk Hunt Giveaway. Now, let's get back to the show. Yeah, you know, Jordan, I agree with that. And I think, too, even with myself, where I am looking, you know, along the lines of, I'm much more interested in just going hunting, especially as my son's getting older. And just like we discussed, right, as you're getting older, your thoughts of what you're wanting out of the hunt completely changes. And I've hunted several states now for, gosh, the last 4 years or something. And I completely agree with you where, you know, the first time I went to that state, it was like, hey, it is literally my sole goal to come here and shoot an animal with my bow. I'm not really overly worried about antler size. I'm not really worried about age. I just want to watch my arrow fly through the air and kill an animal. That's my goal. And then I make that happen. So then the following year, like you said, it's basically a progression, and you're like, okay, so this year I now want it to be X, whatever that might be. So when you have somebody like myself, as opposed to somebody that, I guess, how do you approach it when somebody is completely different than me and they come up to you? And I would venture to guess, I mean, obviously, again, you tell me what it is on your end, but I would venture to guess that more people call you and they're like, hey, I really want to hunt X amount of states a year, but I really want to hunt a mountain goat or a moose, or I want to hunt, I don't know, the Arizona Strip, for lack of better terms. Do more people call you with kind of that want as opposed to my want?
And yeah, I would say definitely a little bit more of that. I think as a general rule, a lot of guys, I guess there's probably two genres that I would put the bulk of the calls that I get into. And one of them is somebody who is wanting to get into Western big game hunting, right? They may not be hunting every single year. They may not be going after the same species every year. And they might even have a year or two in between hunts. They may be DIY. They may be going fully guided when they draw. But they want to go off, you know, they just want to like get started with it. I would say that's the bulk of them. I get 1 out of 10 guys that it's not about simply going because they love going. It's that, what do I got to do to have a chance at some of the very best, hardest stuff to draw? The Henry Mountain, the Arizona Strip, the Kaibab, you know, these just famous, more famous units. And those are very different conversations, right? Because once we start going down that path, we're not necessarily trying to put a hunt together. We're simply trying to have a lightning strike. Where there's no plan around hunting the Arizona Strip unless you can stroke a check for $400,000. And if you can, great, I can help you set that up. But it's not about a plan at that point. It's just getting a little bit more context and having a 10,000 foot view of what it is that you're investing in at that point. And all you really are investing in is simply your name. It's almost like having a raffle ticket. It's just our name is in the hat, and maybe we will beat that less than 1% odds of drawing and get to go on one of these amazing hunts. I also find that there's a lot of guys that want to go hunting as often as they can or put a hunt plan together like that. And then once you kind of explain the context of some of those long shots, they still, you know, so be it. It is what it is. But they want to get involved and at least have their shot at it, because every year crazy stuff happens. I mean, I drew two guys in Arizona for an archery tag this year with 3 points that typically takes 19, right? It takes 2 decades typically to draw that in a max point pool in Arizona. And instead, they beat them. They're going with, it's only the fourth year that they've applied, and they're headed on one of the best elk hunts in the country. And it's because they chose to invest that way and see if they could get lucky. They're both pretty aggressive in their hunt plans. They have some like kind of airtight stuff, and then they have their long shots, and this particular year they hit one of those long shots because they were in it. You know, as a general rule, sheep and moose, at least in the lower 48, sheep, moose, and goat in the lower 48 is very much a similar context. It's not really about a finish line anymore. It's about understanding what all the options are associated with those species, and then finding that comfortable spot that we feel like we want to invest in, maybe someday being the lucky one in those arena or in with those or in those arenas and in those opportunities. So it's honestly what I do all day, every day, Zach, is it's a lot more about just educating a guy, right? Like, I want to learn about his goals, what keeps him up at night, what's his driving force, like what's at the top of his bucket list. And then my goal is, once I start getting a context about that, is to help educate him so that if he's going to invest in it, one thing or the other, he truly has context of what his investment is and has a very real understanding that just because we, you know, I use myself as an example all the time. My dad was rather visionary and got me started very young. And I hit 20 plus years on applications this year. I'm only 37 years old, and I've got 20 plus years of applying. And some of those opportunities still have a less than 1% chance of drawing. So in my mind, that's not a plan. They can call it a draw. They can give you points. They can do all these different things with it, but it might as well be a raffle ticket, right? It's just, and some raffle tickets are truly raffle tickets, and others, you have to buy a hunting license prior to buying, quote unquote, we call them applications. But on some of these applications, that's all it boils down to. And as long as you know that, it's very different than when a guy calls me. You know, I get this call a few times that has 10 years in one state or the other, and is like, why haven't I drawn? And depending on the state, depending on what he's applying for, it can be a hard conversation, because he just has never understood fully what he was investing in. And then to find out that it's a very long-term goal that he didn't understand. It's like all that time, all those years, and I wish I would have done something different. So that's probably the main bulk of people. The other one, just in a real quick snap, is sheep, right? Guys want to hunt sheep. And we stay very focused on sheep, and we go over sheep 101, give them the context, educate them on what is happening in all the different opportunities associated with that, and then help them at some level or the other get started in trying to get a sheep hunt lined up. And sometimes even those guys, once they know, it's depending on the person, they just like it. I don't see them walk away ever all the way, but they forego the draw processes, right? And they just start we start looking at hunts that we can just buy and go, because of how difficult the odds can be. But at least they know now, right? They've got context to their decision,
right? Absolutely. And that's something that, you know, the sheep deal and stuff like that, like you say, you gotta know at what point it's time to just cut your losses and And if it's truly like a life goal, then you're going to have to cut your losses and figure out how to make it happen in another way.
And if you're going to invest some, you know, then where do we get the best bang for our buck, right? Obviously, the places that I've been started young, 20 points plus and still at a less than 1%, probably not the best place to start, right? Like, that makes no sense. So we under
yeah.
we get a little education on, if we're only going to do a little bit here or a little bit there, where is our dollar best spent? And we help guys understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we have about 5 minutes left here, and one thing that I just want to tell real quickly, you know, kind of from a guy that used to apply for everything himself, what you guys have done for me, and then I'd love for you to just touch real quick on how people can get started with you and what you kind of need from them and how they can get a hold of you guys and all that kind of stuff. So, like, sure. You know, my experience with you is there have been several times in the past that I had, you know, whether it be what got busy or forgot or whatever else, and I missed the draw deadline. And with you guys helping me out, that didn't happen anymore, which is, in my opinion, is a huge bonus, because I didn't look back and go, oh, well, call up the dang state and be like, hey, what happened? And they're like, oh, well, the application actually ended yesterday. So that didn't happen anymore, which I found was a huge bonus. And then just talking with you and discussing different options, different plans and everything along those lines really made that a very beneficial experience for me. So that's some ways that you know, you guys can help the DIY hunter. So what about, you know, how can people get a hold of you? How simple is it to get started with you guys? And what's kind of that process look like?
Sure. So the one real quick thing that I figured I'd throw in here too, Zach, is, and we've talked about this a little bit before, is our Kids Apply Free program too, right? So if we've got an adult in our program, you're looking to get your kids started down a different path, there's some amazing opportunities and definitely a lot easier on the budget to get them started, whether it's because we want to go hunting now or we're looking to just kind of build a foundation for them to push off of as they get older. We don't charge for kids under 18. Obviously, the states have some level of investment that you have to do, but we don't have any fees associated with taking care of the kids on that once we've got an adult in the program. So if you happen to have kids and you want to learn more, definitely give us a call. And so the best way to reach out to us and kind of how this process works is you can either jump online to thedraw.com. You'll see a button in the center of the screen that says apply for hunts today. You can fill out an information card right there, and it will submit a lead to us that a consultant will follow up with you and start kind of going over your goals and dreams. You can give us a call at 575-222-1234, and we'll get back with you if we don't happen to pick up, and we'll get that information as well, so we can get started and kind of go over your goals and your plans, and or you can even reach out to us over direct message. Follow us on at We Are The Draw for Instagram, or The Draw on Facebook, and you can DM us there. We monitor all of that type of stuff, and there's even like a chat function on our website if you've got a few quick questions. So really, however is easiest for you, you can get on your phone and engage us a lot of different ways, and we can kind of start this process of really understanding what your goals are, what your vision is, and then we'll help you understand the fastest way to get there and the most efficient way of getting there.
That's awesome, Jordan. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time today to hop on the podcast and kind of discuss the ins and out of the draw, as well as give some helpful insight on, you know, what are some good things to be looking out for and good things to do. And I look forward to hopefully having you back on the podcast in the future.
Yeah, for sure, man. As we kind of shift through hunting season and then get towards application season. There's all sorts of topics we can kind of go through, why and why not, on some of the different states that guys may or may not want to jump into, different stuff. And I always appreciate our time. These conversations are fun for sure.
Thank you for listening in. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share. We hope to have you tuning in for the next episode.